Bo is our engineer. Special thanks to Uri Gallet and Angela Alston, all the folks here in London. Our website, democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
WUSB Stony Brook.
Okay, I don't know how that got in there, but I was going to say that, but I won't now. I'll just say it's 6 o'clock, time for Off the Wall. Okay, that's about enough of that. Just getting my act together backstage here. It's been one of those weeks, you know, where you just have to do a million things at once, and before you know it, it's Tuesday again, and you have to be down here where increasingly my job is being taken over by computers. Computer just gave the legal ID. I had no say in that. Before you know it, computers will be doing everything, and there's not a damn thing we can do about it, is there? Well, that's the healthy outlook anyway. But it's been hectic because I'm working on the spring issue of 2600, and of course, you have to pour your heart and soul into a job when you want to do something. When you want to do it right, you have to do it wrong a few times and then do it right, and eventually you might get it. So that's been taking up all my time. And when that happens, everything else just sort of falls by the wayside. Don't return phone calls, don't return emails, don't throw out the garbage. All sorts of things just pile up. And then you have to spend the next 2 weeks after you're finished catching up to all that, apologizing to all the people you've offended, and, you know, it just seems to be a vicious cycle that never really seems to end. But why should you care about that? It's not a big deal. No, what's a big deal are things that are going on in the world, things that are going on in our society, how they affect the future, all sorts of things like that. And that's hopefully what we'll be able to tackle in the next hour here on Off the Wall, as we try to do every week at this time. Let's see. I have a lot of pieces of email to go through. We have a couple of offensive pieces to... we have one offensive piece to play, if I can get the word out. One offensive piece to play. Yes, we're going to do that because we're still trying. It's hard. We're trying to offend somebody in the religious world, and we just can't seem to do it. You know, we're not doing this out of hatred, out of any sense of superiority or even inferiority. Just trying to spread humor and get people to lighten up a little bit. Yeah, it's okay to mock each other occasionally, as long as you respect each other as individuals. And that's the lesson we're trying to teach to the entire world. But they're not listening, are they? They keep blowing things up and throwing things at each other, yelling, screaming, flashing obscene signals, all sorts of things. I see this, and it's not nice. Not nice at all. Whichever god you worship would not be happy right now, seeing this kind of behavior. And that's why we help to solve these problems by the use of humor, whether it be through cartoons or through jokes or through discussion or what have you. Just anything to lighten up the mood a little bit and get people to stop taking it all so seriously. But before we get into that, am I the only person in this hemisphere that has been following the World Baseball Classic? Because I was watching it over the weekend, and not a single person I talked to understood what I was talking about. I said, hey, look, I'm watching Japan beat the stuffing out of China. And I really was. 18-2. Japan defeated China 18-2. It was sad. It was really, really sad. Never have I watched any kind of sport where I was just sort of hoping that it would end. Because there was this one inning where they just kept hitting the ball and kept running around the bases and kept coming home, and nobody was being tagged out, or no fly balls were being caught, or all these errors, Chinese players running into each other, falling down, not seeing the ball. It was, you know, you wanted something to happen just to put them out of their misery. And they have this thing in this tournament that's going on right now. They have this thing which is, I guess, similar to the Little League, called the mercy rule. I'm not kidding, the mercy rule. We can sure use that in a whole lot of things in life. But apparently, if you're ahead by 15 runs in the fifth inning or beyond, the game ends after the losing team fails to close that gap. And if it's 10 runs after the seventh inning, same thing. So this happened a couple of times, both times I believe with the Chinese team, where they ended the game early because they were behind by just so much. But, you know, hats off to them for trying. It seems kind of strange to me that a nation of over a billion people can't get 9 people coordinated on a baseball field, but that's just something in I guess, our culture. We focus on some things, and they focus on other things, and obviously they're not focusing on baseball. But they tried. That's the important thing. It's all about sportsmanship. And that's really the only reason I take any interest in this. I don't really care about the players. I don't really care about the earned run average. I just like to see the international relations here. I want to see who actually puts together the best team? Because in a couple of weeks, they're going to have a world championship. I know nobody is following this. Maybe they'll follow it now, because at this moment, as I speak, the United States is playing Mexico. And I've been going around all day long with my hands over my ears and over my eyes, too, trying to not see any results, because I think maybe the media might actually cover this one. But since it's happening now, obviously I can't be watching it, so I have to tape it and see it later. And the thing is, it's another game that was played beforehand. And I don't want that to be ruined either, so I can't watch the U.S.-Mexico game because they're going to tell me who won between Dominican Republic and Venezuela. And those are two teams that could actually go all the way and win the championship because they have a lot of good players down there. So, you know, I have to be very careful, especially when I'm reading the news here. You know, I don't want to read a story that's going to ruin it for me. And it's a good thing we're not taking phone calls today because somebody might say something and have to not listen to the radio on the way back, and it's just very difficult. But yeah, this has been going on. It started in Asia last weekend, and they're taking a week off, the Asian teams, because they have to adjust to the time difference, since they're flying over here to the United States and Puerto Rico to play the rest of the tournament. And the two teams that advanced were pretty much what everybody expected, Japan and Korea. But it was kind of cool. The last game was Japan versus Korea. And some wise ass on the Japanese team decided to say something stupid, like, we're gonna prove to the Koreans that they won't be able to beat us for another 30 years. Now, I don't like that kind of smugness, no matter where it's coming from. And ordinarily, I thought the Japanese team was pretty cool. But that got me rooting for Korea. You see, I have no team loyalty whatsoever. I'll say this, I don't want the United States to win. And that might make me a non-patriotic person. I don't care if that's how you decide to view it. But I see the same smugness in the USA. We have the World Series, and we think that just because we play the teams that we have here, there's nobody else to play, and we're world champions. Well, what if some team from, say, Cuba, or Korea, or Japan, or Venezuela, what if they win instead? What does that say? Of course, there's a lot of bad feeling in the United States because a lot of players don't want to play. In fact, the New York Yankees, I swear I'm not going to spend the whole hour talking about sports, but this is just something that's been on my mind lately. The New York Yankees actually went on record as saying they were against the tournament. Against the tournament! Can you imagine this in the world of soccer? If Manchester United said, we're against the World Cup, we don't think our players should participate. What a bunch of idiots. They put this sign up in their spring training camp. The New York Yankees put a sign up apologizing to their fans. We are sorry that certain players will not be present for portions of spring training. These players have elected to participate in the World Baseball Classic. The World Baseball Classic is an event sanctioned by the Commissioner of Major League Baseball and the Major League Baseball Players Association. The New York Yankees did not vote to support this event. Any comments you have regarding the World Baseball Classic should be directed to the Commissioner of Major League Baseball or the Major League Baseball Players Association. What a bunch of sorehead children. And illiterate ones, too. They couldn't even spell Yankees right in the sign. They misspelled Yankees. Oh, God. So, yeah, you know, if the United States loses, it's because of attitudes like this. But it's good to see something international in scope. It always is. May the best team win. This is the first time they've done this, and they're going to do it again in 3 years, and then after that every 4 years, assuming that the whole thing just doesn't turn into a colossal failure. So, quite a schedule coming up. 16 teams altogether. The final will be held in San Diego on March 20th, is that right? Yeah, at Petco Park. I'm looking at the schedule here, and it's crazy what they've named stadiums. Do you remember when stadiums were named after, well, the teams maybe, or the city, or maybe some heroic figure of some sort? And now, what do we have? Well, let's see. Today, the Dominican Republic played Venezuela, and you know where they played that? In Disney's Wide World of Sports. Oh, my God. Disney's... It sounds like a commercial right there. that phrase. I think I probably violated some kind of law just by saying that on a non-commercial radio station. Tokyo, it was the Tokyo Dome, okay? I can understand that. It's in Tokyo, and it's a dome. That's the description of it. Disney's Wide World of Sports. And Petco Park, yeah, that's the one in San Diego. At least when they're playing in Anaheim, it's at Angel Stadium. Who knows how long that's going to last. So, yeah, World Baseball Classic going on, and we'll be following that. So far, the only two teams I know that have advanced are Japan and Korea. I don't know what's going on in any other games that are being played today. All right. Of course, we have world events that are probably a lot more important than what I've been yammering about. Get this. On the front page of CNN yesterday, I saw this headline, and it made me squeal with delight. I haven't done that in a very long time. I can't recall squealing in delight in at least the last 10 years. But I saw the headline, and it just said, "Prosecutor, he lied, and 3,000 people died." And I was like, wow, finally they're going after Bush. Finally, they're going to hold him accountable for lying and sending people to their deaths. Of course, 3,000 people is a bit low. But hey, it's something. It's on the front page of CNN. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you at last. I forget about all the things I've been saying. Yes, you're awake. Yes, you give a damn. No, you're not off, gambling or whatever it was I accused you of doing. You're actually paying attention, and you've brought us this gift. And I just want to thank you for that. Well, it didn't last very long, because I clicked on the damn story, and turned out to be about that guy in Virginia being prosecuted for being the 20th hijacker, the one who was arrested a month before. And because he didn't tell the truth, he wasn't able to stop 9/11, and because he didn't stop 9/11, 3,000 people died. That's the story there. All right, fair enough. Wasn't very nice what he did, no question about that. But when are we going to see the other headline? Really, I want to see that headline. Enough already. I'm still having so much trouble realizing that I'm one of the few people supporting George W. Bush in this whole international port deal fiasco that's going on. And I still wonder why he's supporting his position, because it doesn't really make much sense, but there you go. It's still something that is on the front pages everywhere. Various congressmen are bringing up legislation. This is genius. They're bringing up legislation to forbid foreign companies from controlling U.S. ports. Oh, great. What a wonderful thing to say. But, you know what? British companies have been doing this to the very same ports that you're talking about. Chinese companies do it to this day on the West Coast. The port that I sailed into in Long Beach is controlled by the Chinese. What about that? Oh, well, we're going to grandfather those. That's okay. The Chinese can keep those ports. And any other foreign company or country that runs a foreign company can continue to operate it. They'll be grandfathered in. But the Arabs, no. No. We're not going to allow the Arabs to do this, because we don't trust them at all. I got news for you. There are Arabs doing all sorts of things in this country that probably would cause you concern. Do you know what they do? They make food for us. Yeah, they could poison us at any time. They work in all sorts of secure locations where, say, if they released mustard gas, it would really be a pain in the ass. I think we should do something about that. The argument that flies in the face of logic, first of all, the logic being that any of these foreign companies will not have any control over security. Security is still run by the wonderful people at Homeland Security. All right? Whether it's good security or bad security, I don't know, but it's not the problem of the company. So the argument against that glaring fact, that flies in the face of all the fear that's being thrown around is that, well, if the company is running the port, they're going to be privy to all sorts of inside information, such as when something is arriving. When something is arriving. I can find out that information. It's easy to find out when a boat that's carrying 1,000 pieces of cargo the size of 18-wheel trucks, it's not hard to figure out when that's going to be arriving. And you know what? There are all sorts of Arab airliners that are flying into airports all over this country. And they're controlled by Arab companies, too. They have all sorts of information as to who's flying on those airplanes, as to when they're going to be arriving. Yeah, maybe we should stop that as well. The whole thing is just so silly and so stupid. And so universal in the amount of people that are attacking the idea. Democrat, Republican, it doesn't matter. When racism rears its head, everybody just joins in. And that's what this is. I'm sorry, there's just no other way. When you say it's okay for the Chinese to run a port, but it's not okay for the Arabs to run a port, I'm sorry, that's pure racism. No question about it. Yeah, there are some evil Arab people. There are some evil Chinese people. There are some evil American people. What's the point? So it'll be interesting to see just how this plays out. We have a 45-day review period. I'm not quite sure what's going to be accomplished during that period, unless there's some major payoffs going on. It sure will be neat to see just how it goes. So yeah, you know, that's been my problem, the fact that I actually agree with Bush on this, even though I don't think I really agree with him. I think he's kicking himself for saying the things he's saying. But he's just so stubborn that he doesn't know anything else to say. I'm going to do penance for agreeing with Bush by reading some Bush quotes. That always helps. Like Hail Marys, you know, Bushisms. Okay, here's a recent one. This was in Islamabad, Pakistan. Can you believe it? He went to Pakistan and he survived? I thought for sure the Republicans were sending him to Pakistan to die. I really did. I thought they were making him the sacrificial lamb, because I don't know if you've noticed this. The Republicans are creating more and more of a gap between Bush and the rest of them. And it's very intelligent, actually. It's very intelligent because they know there is no way they can win the election in 2008 with the kind of shenanigans that have been going on. They know that. They know they're in deep trouble. But the Democrats have given them a gift in the form of Hillary Clinton. If Hillary Clinton is the front runner for president in 2008, Dick Cheney could probably win the election, even though he has no intention of running. Dan Quayle might even be able to win. Who knows? Anybody could win. It's amazing to me how the Democrats manage to blow it, no matter how easy the Republicans make it for them. But they're going to do it this time, too. Mark my words. But no, in any event, the Republicans are basically moving as far away from Bush as possible so they can introduce a new candidate that will be the real Republican agenda. No, this Bush, he was a big mistake. This person will be much better, and certainly much better than Hillary Clinton, right? And that's how 2008 will go to the Republicans as well. Mark my words. All right, here's the Bush quote that came from Islamabad, Pakistan. I'm still surprised that he survived that. I really am. Of course, he didn't really appear in public at all. I saw him getting off the airplane. They turned the lights off. They came in a different airplane. They were trying to hide him as much as possible. And he's getting off the plane, and he's walking across some tarmac or something, and he's waving. Who is he waving to? There are no people there waving at him. The only things they're waving at him are effigies of himself burning. So who is he waving to? He's not waving at the camera because he's not looking at the camera. He's waving at somebody. I really would like to know who is on the other end of that wave. So in Islamabad, he said, "I believe that a prosperous, democratic Pakistan will be a steadfast partner for America, a peaceful neighbor for India, and a force for freedom and moderation of the in the Arab world. Oh, come on, you must know what's wrong with that. I'm going to read it again, all right? I can sense when people are puzzled. I can sense when people don't understand the point. I'm going to read it again. I believe that a prosperous, democratic Pakistan will be a steadfast partner for America, a peaceful neighbor for India, and a force for freedom and moderation in the Arab world. Right! They're not an Arab country. Very good. He thinks Pakistan is an Arab country. Amazing. That was a mere 4 days ago. Let's see. This is a good one. February 23rd. This is about the United Arab Emirates deal. People don't need to worry about security. This deal wouldn't go forward if we were concerned about the security for the United States of America. Okay, that's good. That's good. While I agree with his stand on the port security issue, the way he said it is simply classic. And let's do one more. One more. This is about baseball, so it kind of ties in. February 13th, 2006, George W. Bush in Washington, D.C. I think it's really important for this great state of baseball to reach out to people of all walks of life to make sure that the sport is inclusive. The best way to do it is to convince little kids how to the beauty of playing baseball. One of those Bush gaps, I guess, is what you call that. Okay. Time for us to play our offensive piece of the week. It's not that offensive, I don't think, but some people might find it offensive. And certainly no one can accuse Richard Pryor of ever being offensive. So this is going to be a tough one this week. But again, we'd like to hear from you. If you have something religious in nature that you'd like to send to us that isn't spilling over with hatred or venom, but just something that tells a nice joke that people need to hear, that the world needs to lighten up about. We can't be told that we're not allowed to tell jokes. That's a very dangerous thing. And I've been trying to find Islamic religious jokes that aren't filled with hatred and venom. So if you have any, please send them in, because or direct me to them if you're afraid to type it yourself. I got the beginning of one, but it was cut off. Prophet Muhammad walks into a bar. That's all I have. And then the phone call went dead. Now, maybe that's the joke, because I guess the Prophet Muhammad isn't supposed to go into a bar because he doesn't drink, but he could have been using the bathroom or something like that. And I suppose I'm not supposed to say that either. But, you know, why not? They have to use the bathroom too, right? God must use the bathroom. Jesus Christ, he had to... Let's not get into it. But the point is, there are jokes out there, and we desperately need some jokes. Here's Richard Pryor.
Tonight our guests include the Reverend Arnold T. Perkins, and of course we have black nationalists.
Why don't you introduce me first, sissy? Jam, I don't even want to be on the show, man, because that beep, 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 beep.
Next to him is the wonderful anthropologist, Dr. Winston Stonewood, and Miss Hazel Duntwood, who gave up narcotics for God. Let's pose our first question to the professor. Professor, where did man come from?
Man came from the earth. Man was begat by raindrops, grew out of the ground, uprooted himself, and just walked away. Man was first a stump. After man pulled himself away from the earth, man went walking, dragging, of course, the roots, leaving little seeds as he walked along, giving growth to other vegetation and creating more man trees, as they were known in the early times. See, God was a person from another place. He came here on Earth and liked the place and decided he'd settle down. Knew he'd make a fortune here. He's been cleaning up every Sunday for the last thousands of years with that religion crap.
I got something to say, man. You dig? I mean, you cats been up here rapping ain't said nothing about the real thing. You know what I mean? I got something to say, man. Man, the black man, the real soul brother, first was coming by himself. He wasn't no tree. I mean, I don't want to hear it, man. You cats up here rapping about the Jews, but what about me, man? What about my people?
I don't believe anyone said anything about the Jews.
You will. You will.
Maybe Miss Dumtree'd like to say something.
Yes. I'd like to say, since I gave up narcotics, I found God.
I beg to differ. I don't see the tie-in between narcotics and God.
God was a junkie, baby. Now, he had to be a junkie to put up with all this, you know what I mean? You don't just walk around feeling nothing behind all this is going on, man. Yes, the Reverend, he'll tell you about it. Tell him about Rev, because me and Rev was rapping backstage. I know where it's at. Keep on, Rev, rapping.
Well, my friend here probably is right. God probably did take some sort of outside medication. As it states in chapter 6, verse 32, I will take unto myself what is needed. God didn't want us to have it. I don't think he would have created it. Amen. I disagree. I think the devil had a lot to do with this. I think the devil has been man's greatest curse since time began. I think the devil created time. What do you say to that?
Wow, man, what's that got to do with the real thing? Everybody know who the devil is. The devil's what? I study religion, you know what I mean? Organized religion. And there ain't no such thing, because God ain't never dug too many people. He just dug a few cats. Like Moses. Yeah. That's the only cat he ever rapped to. You cats coming on with the organized religion like God dig a whole bunch of people. Unreal. And I ain't going for it.
I would like to say something to my friend here. When God touches one of us, he's not just touching one of us, but he touches many of us in many ways. Often God touches me at night. I lay in bed and I feel God touching me. It's quite marvelous. Well, that about concludes it for tonight, friends.
And that's the late, great Richard Pryor with God is a Junkie. Now, I don't think that's going to offend anybody, is it? Amazing. OTW at 2600.com is our email address. If there's something that you would like to suggest that we play that is religious in nature and has humor also attached to it. Because that's very important. I even found in my search for the ultimate religious joke, I found a whole lot of what's known as clean Christian jokes. Because there are so many non-clean ones. So I'm just going to pick one at random and see if that offends anybody. I don't think it will. That's too long. That's going to offend me if I read it. Well, that's not good either. I guess I should have picked one out before, but I wanted to do it at random. I don't want to spend 5 minutes reading the thing. Okay. Let's see what we got here. A mother was teaching her three-year-old daughter the Lord's Prayer for several evenings at bedtime. She repeated it after her mother. One night she said she was ready to solo. The mother listened with pride as she carefully enunciated each word right up to the end. Lead us not into temptation, she prayed, but deliver us some email. Amen. See, now that's humorous, and it's not offending anybody. Except for those people that might want to laugh a little bit more. Okay, looking at the news concerning all this religious fervor that's going on, I'm not quite sure what's happening over in India, but they had a bombing today at a temple. It's amazing how the temples are being bombed by religious zealots. People who want to start civil wars, people who want to have one faction of a religion fighting against another faction of the same religion, or different religions fighting against each other. The issue is not telling jokes. The issue is tolerance for other ideas, other ways of looking at things. Three explosions in the holy Indian city of Varanasi have killed 14 people and wounded dozens more. And that's really pretty much all that's known at this point. Usually when something happens in India, Pakistan gets blamed, so I don't know if it's reached that point yet, but when it does, well, I guess George Bush will be happy that he went last week and not next week. In a videotape broadcast Saturday, Osama bin Laden's number two, of course, Ayman al-Zawahiri, condemned published cartoons. They really know what the important issues are, don't they? Condemned published cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad that have sparked violent protests throughout the Muslim world. The Al-Qaeda, listen to this, the Al-Qaeda deputy blamed freedom of speech for the insult against the Prophet Muhammad. Now, at times like this, you have to wonder, is George Bush writing his material? Freedom of speech is the problem. He actually said this. Of course, I don't understand Arabic, and we never get really to hear the words. We get to hear the translation. But supposedly that's what he said, that freedom of speech is what's to blame. And of course, that's just more fodder for the people that believe that invading countries and causing all kinds of mayhem, uprooting everything, that that's the way to go. Yeah, because they are against everything we stand for. They think freedom of speech is bad. It's really kind of hard to believe, but that's what the story says. The cartoons, according to Al-Zawahiri, are a continuation of the Crusaders' war against Islam. The cartoons initially were published in September by a Danish newspaper. They were reprinted earlier this year in several newspapers whose editors argued publication of the cartoons is a matter of free speech. And several Arab nations have begun boycotting Danish goods. Which is all fine and dandy, but the riots, the torching of embassies and consulates, all of that was insane. And done by people who in all likelihood never even saw the cartoons and have no idea what they really are saying or depicting, just being told that this is part of the fight. And to see people react to that and basically turn a blind eye when real horrors come out, like torture and occupation of your country by foreign troops, you know, that kind of thing, is what people really should be up in arms about. Religion is going to survive no matter what. Can't really do much about that. Back here in the United States, a controversy that has sparked violent demonstrations across the Middle East and Asia came to a U.S. college campus as a display of cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad drew around 200 protesters. No, it wasn't here at Stony Brook. Nobody has dared, I don't think, to publish them here. Security was increased for the student forum Tuesday night, last Tuesday night at the University of California at Irvine, but police reported no violence. They were very disappointed. The week before, members of the Muslim Student Union called upon college Republicans, the student group co-sponsoring the event, not to display the images. But the latter refused. It's really sad that the college Republicans are the ones who have latched onto this as a freedom of speech issue. Another sponsor, the United American Committee, likened the demonstrations to censorship by terrorism in a statement on its website. United American Committee. The discussion originally was set to focus on the fight against terrorism, but copies of the cartoons surfaced on campus, and the college Republicans said they decided to include the topic in the program. The cartoons of Muhammad were published in a Danish newspaper in September, but their reprinting in publications worldwide has sparked violent protests in countries with large Muslim populations, and dozens have died in the demonstrations. Depictions of Muhammad, as we've been told, are prohibited under Islamic law. The Muslim Student Union's Osama Umarji accused the evening program of inciting Islamophobia. They are discussing Islamic terrorism and how most Muslims are apologists for terrorists. You know, it's really a crazy issue because, yeah, you know, you should be demonstrating against the college Republicans. They're a bunch of racist idiots for the most part. I just base that on what they've said over the years. But at the same time, you cannot stifle freedom of speech, and printing a cartoon, no matter how you look at it, is freedom of speech. It's just a shame that the college Republicans are the only ones saying that. That turns it into an issue that somehow represents them, and that's just sad on so many levels. Here at Stony Brook, there's going to be a symposium, a discussion on, I believe, Thursday, yeah, March 9th, in the Student Activity Center Ballroom B at 7 p.m. It's called Blasphemy or Freedom, Analyzing the Danish Cartoons. In the wake of the uproar and controversy following the publication of the Danish cartoons, students at Stony Brook are working to encourage dialogue and understanding about the issue among the campus community through a panel discussion. Panelists include Shamil Idris, UN Deputy Director for the Alliance of Civilizations, Roy Gutman, Pulitzer Prize-winning foreign correspondent for Newsday and author of A Witness to Genocide, and Ayman Abu Yusuf, a renowned Islamic scholar. The panelists are expected to address topics such as freedom of the press, the future of relations between the West and the Muslim world, as well as the offensive nature of the cartoons to the Muslim population. Sponsored by the Stony Brook Muslim Students Association. I don't know how to say this. AI Democracy? Aid Democracy? Is that how you say it? AID is in big letters. Okay. And the Society of Professional Journalists. The panel discussion, followed by a Q&A from the audience, is intended to present the subject of the controversial Danish cartoons in an unbiased and scholarly manner, addressing all areas surrounding the publication and the reaction that followed. Hoping to inspire others to organize town hall meetings and discussions, the panel is expected to shed light on the issue while eradicating the misunderstandings involved. Good luck. We'll see if that works out. It'll be interesting to attend. Again, that's Thursday, right here on campus, March 9th. Student Activity Center, Ballroom B, 7 p.m. And if I get done with all the things I have to do, maybe I'll even show up. Of course, your letters are always welcome, as we say many times. And we've been getting all sorts of feedback from people who wish to contribute and participate in the freedom of exchange of ideas and information that sometimes offend people, but at the same time respecting each other as individuals. Yes, you can do both. Dear Emmanuel, you have to play some Dead Kennedys in order to offend. Kill the Poor, Moral Majority, California Balalas, Pull My String, so on and so forth. Great music, intelligent lyrics. That's from Dave from Ireland. Might have read that one already. Dear Off the Wall, I currently am listening to your show from February 14th, regarding the cartoons and your outrage about the reactions. I'm a German not believing in anything personal, any kind of religion, I guess is what you're trying to say. But partly I can understand the reactions by the Muslims, because this topic is not that easy as just there are some cartoons. The thing is, as I understand correctly, it is prohibited at all within the Islamic religion. We read this one last week too, I believe. Prohibited at all within Islamic religion. And I made the point that, yes, but we're not in the Islamic religion. And if we were, okay, you know, we'd be subjected to whatever penalties are handed out for that kind of thing. But that's the beauty of not belonging to any particular religion, is you can mock all of them. And, you know, you can mock your own religion too. I don't see anything wrong with that. Just like you can mock your own family or nationality or anything. Here's a possible offensive song for your consideration. They Don't Make Jews Like Jesus Anymore, from Kinky Friedman and the Texas Jew Boys. That's from Jay. Thank you very much for sending that in, and we'll try to get to that in a week to come. You said you were looking for somewhat offensive songs dealing with religion. I have found that many are offended by violent femmes. In fact, my mom disallowed my sister to listen to It's Gonna Rain after I lent her their Hallowed Ground CD. Love your show. Keep on ranting. Signed, Curie. Thank you, Curie, for that interesting piece of mail. Oh, yeah, and then we got... I knew this was going to happen. I mentioned... How did I bring up guns? I mentioned guns. Okay, we had a murder-suicide in town last week. And I made the point. I made the point that, you know, this probably wouldn't have happened if the guy didn't have a gun or something like that. And, of course, people took offense at that. I can insult religion. I can insult nationalities. I can mock people to their faces. But if I insult the gun, oh, my God. You know what? Guns are the religion. That's what it is in this country. You pray to the gun. You worship the gun. The gun is what leads you. That's what controls your mind. What would the gun do? Well, here's one of the letters we received. I listen to your podcast as well as Off the Hook religiously. Funny. I just listened to your anti-gun rant and am a little perplexed. I would think that someone with the combination of open-mindedness and suspicion of big government, such as yourself, would see the inherent value of the right to bear arms. Gun ownership is not the issue. Other countries such as Canada and Switzerland have lax gun laws, high incidences of gun ownership, and yet have much, much lower crime than the U.S. The U.S. needs less governmental interference in our personal lives, not more. You of all people should know this. This sounds like the, you know what, you're a libertarian and you don't know it argument that I get a lot. Okay, it seems natural to me that a culture with a legacy of capitalist abuses, slavery, a national anthem based on a battle, and general tolerance for violence, yet disdain for sex in the media, is going to develop a problem with violent crime. When you make laws against guns, you only disarm lawful citizens. Most gun control efforts involve sparking off of some highly public event and involve irrational fear backed by a self-righteousness akin to the government's recent attempts to take our freedoms to travel on the subway without being searched, to peaceable assembly, and to unmonitored free speech. I am not some gun nut, and do not even own one, but I am fearful of any government that wishes to disarm its public. Hey, I got news for you. The government doesn't want to disarm you. The government's one of the biggest problems. They don't see the correlation between having guns and firing guns. So you don't have to worry about that. What you have to worry about are your fellow citizens getting a little bit pissed off at what's going on around them. But of course, we can't do anything about it because we don't have guns. And we can't charge into your home and forcibly take your guns away, which is apparently what we must want to do. Continuing with the letter here. There are a few links I can't give the links out over the air because you can't click on them. But basically, he says, my experience is that this issue is like abortion. Once people make up their minds, they refuse to hear facts and simply feed themselves only those opinions which support their own positions. Thanks for your time, Will from Bayonne. Will, thanks for your letter. But, you know, really, my point was only this. It wasn't about getting rid of the guns. You know, I'll say this for the record. I don't think we're going to get rid of guns. I don't think we're going to be able to pry the guns out of dead hands or live hands or whatever. I think people are going to have them if they want to have them. My point, and this is really the only point I've ever made, is that I think it's stupid. I think it's a bad idea. I think if you have guns in your house, you're all the more likely to use them against somebody that you really shouldn't be using them against, or that some accident is going to happen involving them. I don't think they keep you any safer. Do you have the right to be an idiot? Yeah, okay, fine. Take the right to be an idiot. You can jump in front of a bus, too. It's probably not the wisest thing to do. My point is that we probably wouldn't have had a murder-suicide here in town if this guy hadn't had easy access to a gun. That's my only point. So, you know, people should think about these things. They should think about exactly what it is that they want. Do they want to hunt something? Do they want to protect themselves? Got news for you. It's probably not going to work as far as protecting yourself. Yeah, you can hunt things, but then you don't need to keep it in your living room, do you? Look at the facts. Look at what's going on around you. Look at all the people who are dying needlessly. All the violence taking place in the home. Ask yourself, I got really angry last week. If I had a gun, what would I have done? You know, things like that. Some people can handle it. Some people are cool as cucumbers. They don't blow up until 20 years down the road, okay? But some people are capable of doing it, but not everybody. Not everybody. I can't fly a spaceship. I know that. I know what my limits are, and I probably wouldn't want to have a gun in my house either. Probably. See, I reserve the right. I could change my mind tomorrow, but it's just a monumentally bad idea. And for the reasons expressed here, yeah, you know, we're a violent society. I don't know why we're so violent. They're not that violent in Canada. They're not that violent in Europe. So the combination isn't a good one. But it's funny how people get offended by certain things. Not that this reader necessarily got offended. Some people did. But, you know, I'm talking about religion, mocking religion, saying all kinds of things, and okay, that's fine. But you criticize the gun, you get mail. I saw this film. I saw this film a couple of weeks ago. It's called Elephant. I don't know why it's called Elephant. You know, I never looked into that. But basically, it's about the it's about a massacre that takes place in a high school. It's funny how when you see anything about a high school, you just assume there's going to be a massacre at some point. You didn't know that going into the film. But you see high school kids walking around the campus, and you think that, well, that's where this film's going to go, because that's what we associate high schools and post offices with, are massacres. It's sad that it's gotten to that stage, and I think we really have to do some soul-searching to figure out how that happened. Rather than simply turn them into military camps, we have to go through metal detectors to get in, and there's armed security guards patrolling the halls. My God. If I had said that 20 years ago, nobody would have believed me. Nobody would have believed that was possible. And that sure doesn't solve the problem, does it? But I digress. This film was one of those quote-unquote alternative films, you know, where there's not a whole lot of dialogue. You just see these people walking around. Like, literally, you'd see somebody walking down a long hallway, and that would be the scene. Maybe they'd say hello to somebody as they pass by. But for 3 or 4 minutes, you'd just be watching somebody walking down a hallway. Or walking all the way across the library, or the cafeteria, or even a field. I guess it's some kind of film technique. But I'll tell you, it got pretty annoying after a while. But as the plot slowly began to develop, really, really slowly, you came to realize that probably these kids that are ordering guns on the internet are up to no good. And you see them in one of their homes, because they're friends, not relatives, and they're staying home from school, picking up things from UPS, and building these really sophisticated weapons. And then the day of the planned massacre arrives, and they're at home waiting to, I guess, get all loaded up and do whatever it is that they feel they're going to have to do. And then there's an unusual scene. You could tell that there was some kind of chemistry between these two kids, but it kind of manifests itself in a shower scene. Yeah. Yeah, they went there. And that was kind of unusual. You know, I wasn't expecting to see that. So after, you know, the massacre takes place and the film is over, I went on the internet, because I like to do that after I see films, see what people say about these things, see if everybody agrees that it was good or everybody agrees that it was terrible. and see what their reaction was. And, you know, so many people were offended by the shower scene. You know, I saw all this outrage. Oh, my God, how dare you show something like that? To imply that these kids were gay. It's an outrage. I mean, because this was based on Columbine, apparently, and those kids weren't gay. How could you say that? What a horrible thing. I had my daughter watching this program. What am I going to say to her? No problem seeing people with their heads blown off, seeing the kind of fear and horror that took place inside a high school because these people go around with high-powered machine guns mowing everybody down. But two male students in a shower, boy, that's out of control. We have to stop this. So that's when I realized, you know, our values are really kind of messy. I don't understand them. I don't understand why people get upset at the weirdest things. Like, for instance, the other day, about a week or so ago, I gave the finger to a dog. Yeah, I did that. Now, why would I do such a thing? Okay, I was walking past this car, going to get some food someplace. And you ever walk by a car and there's like this massive hound in there and he just unleashes with this like horrible barking right in your face because he's sitting on the passenger side and you just happen to walk by and you don't know he's there and he scares the crap out of you. All right, that gets you upset. Now, first time I just kind of like jumped and went on my way, but I resolved that if I was going to be hit with that on the way back, I was going to do something about that. And I did. Dog did the same thing. I flipped him off. And then I hear this voice from behind me. Hey, what'd you do that for? The dog's owner gets offended that I give the dog a finger. Not that the dog is offended. This guy, his values are so misplaced that he sees me doing that to the dog and he takes personal offense. Hey, you don't have to be a jerk about it. My God, what people get riled up about in this country is something I'll never understand. But unfortunately, that brings us to the end of our time tonight. Again, you can always email us, otw@2600.com, with your thoughts, feelings, outrage, things that you might be offended at. Oh, but if you want to laugh, I got something for you, a little present on the way out. This is a video link, courtesy of Google Video, that someone sent me. Actually, Lynn, thank you very much for sending this in, because it really is great. Just watch the video all the way through, and I guarantee whatever is going on in your life, you'll forget about it. I made a tiny URL out of this, tinyurl.com/ANYRX, A-N-Y-R-X. Watch that, and let us know what you think. We'll see you again next week, same time, same place. No Off the Hook tomorrow. That'll be on next week. Have a very good night. And I'm playing the wrong thing here, I'm sorry. Blame the CD player, don't blame me.
Yes, I. One player tune, no. Dig this.
Of only vanity and no love for humanity shall fade away, fade away. He who checks for only wealth and not for his physical health shall fade away, fade away. Though some believe in diamonds and pearl and feel like they're on top of the world, they shall fade away. Hear what I say. The rich is getting richer every day, and the little that the poor man got, it shall be taken away. Do you hear what I say? Yeah, hear what I say. The man who worships silver and gold shall surely, surely, surely lose his own soul, then fade away. One who's always acting smart and don't carry no love in his heart shall fade away. God is here and there on every game unfair. So people beware, or else you fade away. Hey, beware, or then you fade away. You gotta fade, gotta fade, gotta fade now. The rich is getting richer every day, and the little that the poor man got, it shall be taken away. Do you hear what I say? Hey, hear what I say. One who's always acting smart and forgetting to carry love in his heart shall fade away. God is here and there and everywhere, and his eyes are watching you. You gon' fade away, yeah, yeah, gon' fade, 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 fade away, fade away, yeah, yeah. Brother, what you done? Can't you see you're gonna fade away now? Fade, fade in the morning, fade in the evening. Surely you're gonna fade. Yeah, you're gonna fade every day now.
Hi, this is Albert Collins. When I'm out in Stony Brook, I'll be listening to WUSB FM station when I want to listen to some good blues.